everyone, and welcome to another episode of Free to a Good Home. My name is Michael Hing, and joining me from my very own house is a man who is now fully recovered from the coronavirus. It's Ben Jenkins.
If anything, I am stronger than I was when I went in.
Well, congratulations on your recovery.
But mainly that's because when I went in, I had COVID and was very weak. So that's... Michael, I'm in your house. Mm-hmm. You're in Hum's house for the second time in, I want to say, 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. I'm in a different room of your house now. Mm-hmm. I'm in the... It's you know what it is, Michael?
What is it, Ben?
You know how schizophrenic people talk back to the radio because they think that they can have a conversation?
Yep.
Such is our friendship that I have spent so much time with you in this room, but over a webcam because we've been recording. So I feel like I have stepped into
the television.
The television in
You're
a way.
Living in the television.
And I'm in the room that I see in the background and I can see new angles. I didn't realize, Michael, for example, there's a washing basket on the ground and there had been this whole time. This is incredible. And I can see the tiny blue chair from where I'm sitting. I'm not sitting on it because you're currently using it to hold a number of clothes.
We don't need to go through the...
And a doona cover.
We don't need to go through like what
and why can I can I say tastefully out of shot is a workbench that is covered in keyboards and magic cards. rock and roll. Should we introduce our guests?
We should. You might know them as one of the hosts of a podcast, which I assume is more successful than ours, the masters of our domain Seinfeld podcast. Please welcome Phoebe Roy. Hello, Phoebe. How's it going?
Hello, fellas. It's going okay. I'm really excited about the room tour. I kind of want to hear more. I want to talk about
there's
the lava lamp.
A nasal spray.
I want to talk about the lava lamp.
Yeah, where'd you fucking get that? You know, Phoebe. I don't know if it's the same in the UK, but there was a period there in from about 2000 and I'd say 2001 to 2003, where you couldn't fucking walk around a shopping center without running into a lava lamp. Yeah. They were everywhere. If you if you gave me 2 weeks to find a lava lamp in a physical store, I don't think I could do it in 2022.
Wow.
This is where you're wrong. The lava lamp is back. It's back. It's back with a vengeance. Like everything, from like kind of 1999 to 2002, I'd say is like it's creeping back into the cultural consciousness.
London is obviously light years ahead of Sydney culturally, as it is the cultural capital of Europe.
That's right. That is right.
But I'm just wondering to know what we can expect in the future. Are those inflatable plastic chairs coming back?
Great question. I honestly, I really hope so. Like what I want to see coming back are the inflatable flowers, inflatable CD holders. Because because then like the young people will look at them and go, well, what is this for? I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this inflatable thing with the plastic pockets on the side.
I remember getting an inflatable chair for my room in, let's say, 2001.
Mm-hmm. You were in high school in 2001?
I was, yeah, it would have been, yeah. And I remember thinking as I took it home from Granny May's, thinking, I've got a whole fucking couch in my backpack. This is insane. Like,
how long do you reckon it lasted for?
Well, this is the thing, right? Like, so I was like thinking, like, how is this not revolutionized furniture?
Yeah.
Because air is free and you can just fill it and put this. And then I sat on this thing fucking once and I was like, oh, that's why. Because this is in some ways like uncomfortable, but also like completely insubstantial.
Yeah. Phoebe, if I could answer your question from before, where you asked me why I had the lava lamp, something you might not know, but listeners to the podcast would know, is that about 2 years ago now, Ben, I mistakenly and became obsessed with the color blue. Mm-hmm. And so I bought a lot of blue objects, and the lava lamp that you see is one of the many blue objects I've bought.
Okay. What else?
I don't have a satisfying explanation for it. There's the giant blue skull on the painting.
Yeah,
you can see the blue skull. There is this blue carafe that I put water in sometimes.
That's a good carafe.
And it comes with this nice little blue cup as well.
My blue water bottle.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm wearing jeans, guys. So we've all
the chair
something.
Ben is sitting on is blue.
Yeah.
That's true.
Anyway, there's just a bunch of blue shit in my life that I'm a bow bird. Do you have bow birds in the UK? Probably
no,
not.
I don't know what that is.
It's a kind of bird that exclusively picks up little blue knickknacks and take it back to its pervert nest.
Is that real or is that are you?
Yeah, it's real.
It's an Australian bird, I guess.
Like seriously, your fucking country. We've literally had this conversation before, but like that. Every new thing I learn about Australia, I am more like, yeah, CIA. The CIA invented this country. There's no other explanation.
This is a podcast.
I was going to say, we may be joined later in the podcast by your co-host on one of your podcasts.
Yeah, we might be. We don't know where he is, what he's doing. He's just chilling out. Chilling out with the ladies.
Do we think he might be... Yeah, as long as we know that he's safe wherever he is.
Oh, yeah, no. He's definitely safe. He's checked in.
Because I don't want to be.
Yeah.
Phoebe, I don't want to be riffing on this guy and then find out that he's dead.
Yeah.
Because that's going
to
be a real
bummer.
But
you know him better than we do. Is that what he would have wanted?
Honestly, this is the thing. Like Milo is one of my best friends. And like, I think I can safely say on his behalf that, yeah, I think there's a possibility that that's the best tribute we could possibly. We could possibly pay to him to clown on him in his absence while he's lying dead in a ditch.
Do you know that I don't want any jokes at my funeral?
You don't want any jokes at your funeral?
No, neither do I.
You're going to have a big sign saying no jokes?
Yeah. I'm going to put you in charge, Michael, of giving every speaker the fucking light. Ooh. If they...
I'm just finding blue things around the house to show to Michael.
Honestly?
You've become a bowerbird.
Once that's Phoebe's holding up a blue Cormac McCarthy novel, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah, once you start looking for it, it's everywhere. The color blue is really common. It's one of the main colors.
It's one of the biggest colors.
This is a podcast where we go through the colors of the spectrum
everything blue that I can see. Do you want to know what blue I can see like right now from where I'm sitting?
Yes. Honestly, yeah, dearly. Okay, we could do that. But honestly, as an audio medium, this may be unsatisfying to the listener.
It might be, but you know, I'm a writer. I can paint pictures with my words. The blue stuff I can see are my grandmother's dinner set, which is blue.
A
dinner set. What is that? Do you mean like plates or
some horrible English thing?
it's a vile English thing. There are plates and bowls and soup bowls and like a gravy boat and like a set like
now,
serving
is this,
dish
is this like fancy stuff that you keep in a cabinet that you would never use?
We have people over, but we don't use it for like every day.
Right, so this is like your.
This is our good china. This is our good china, and it's blue. Okay. We've got a blue sugar bowl. We've got a blue toaster. The fridge is blue.
What room of the house are you in? Are you in the kitchen right now?
Where do you think I am? Right, okay. I'm looking at the toaster.
We don't know how you do things.
I have
things.
My bedside table toaster, just in case I need either morning
don't
toast.
Don't you guys have that over
or
there?
Maybe you could be in the bathroom. You might have a toaster there just for emergencies, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
can I say that a point of tension?
Yeah, yeah.
A point of tension in my marriage is that I don't like the idea of the good anything, like the good bowl that we only have for guests. And Anya, I think just we were brought up in very different families. Like my family is like, in terms of crockery, radically egalitarian. Uh-huh.
Very informal crockery family.
They have fancy crockery, but they'll just use it whenever, right? Mm-hmm. And Anya is very much like, no, we got some crystal wine glasses, Phoebe, for our wedding that the person who gave them to us said, and I never really questioned it until I brought it up with somebody and they were like, what the fuck are you talking about? The crystal wine glasses were in the same room as Zelda Fitzgerald once. That was the gift.
How would they know that?
Well, this is the thing. When it was given to me at my wedding, I was like, lovely. Thank you for that. That's incredible. Zelda Fitzgerald in the same room as her, you say. Wonderful. And Anya was like, well, we'll only use these when good people come around. And then
when Zelda Fitzgerald comes around.
Should Zelda Fitzgerald drop by? And then years later, I told that to somebody and they had precisely your reaction, Michael. They were like, how would you know that?
Yeah. Phoebe. Yeah. This is not a podcast about the color blue. This is actually a podcast where we go through the week's classified to find the best and worst things to talk about. Have you ever, are you much of an online shopper? Do you buy and sell things via classifieds online at all?
I never sell things online because I'm lazy, and I'm also and I also have, it's not a condition exactly, but it's, I am very, very, very bad at the internal economics of a household, and I'm very, very bad at maths. And I have at some point or another persuaded myself that either keeping something that you don't want to have or just throwing it away is somehow cheaper, or you somehow get more money out of it than trying to sell it for a small amount on eBay or whatever.
Well, here's the thing, Phoebe, I'm with you on this. If like you can make this maths work, right? All you need to do is say, if I'm going to hire myself to sell something on eBay and pay myself, let's say $400 an hour to do so, then it actually costs me less to not do that.
Okay, yeah.
That's, you know
what
I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
But I would probably question $400 an hour some logic. As a going okay. rate.
But it feels that way. I'm so with you.
Yeah, I think that was a very anti-worker thing of you to say just there, Michael. I'm not impressed by that. Like, that's actually like a reasonable going fee, I think.
It's not for any work Ben does is not worth $400 an hour. I've worked with this man for over a decade. I know the market value for what he does is, I don't know, $45, maybe $50 an hour.
I'm trying to think of a time that I've been paid close to that. And do you know what it is? Mm-hmm. When I was at university, I took a job teaching improv comedy to bankers. at like one of their functions and I worked, and I think my hourly rate came pretty close to that, but it was also one of the worst experiences of my entire life.
That's I think the most I've ever been paid to teach comedy was to teach improv to so Ben and I used to work at a bar at uni, Phoebe, and my manager at the bar was a guy called, what's his name? The buff Asian dude, Lee. His name was Lee. And he ran a website that taught men how to pick up women, right?
And this was prior, this was just prior to the game, I think.
So. This is like, yeah. So this guy was an Australian sex pest, I imagine is what you might call them.
That's a kind of bird, by the way.
They only like red things.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he used to rent out the bar we worked at on Saturday mornings and run his like classes for whatever. And one time I didn't really understand what was going on, but he said, hey, I'm running this like seminar. Can you, and I know you do improv. Would you like to teach them improv, these people improv? And I was like, oh, sure, I'll take a job, whatever. And I got paid like, yeah, hundreds of dollars to turn up. And then a room full of just the weirdest, like most socially awkward, all in top hats, monocles, you know, just steampunk losers. Teaching them improv, which I assume they went then out to harass people with, doing magic tricks and whatnot at bars and clubs around Australia.
Do you think you're their Mr. Holland? Like when they're bothering some woman at a bar, they think back to those heady days with you.
Like probably. Yeah, they're like kind of blocking a woman's exit from the bar. And then like when she eventually manages to get away, like they're on the bar, they're like jumping up on the bar saying, this is for you, Mr. Hing.
Disastrous. All right, let's get into it. This is one that I found on Craigslist. I'm going to put in the chat for you, Phoebe. This is from Richmond in the US, I think Richmond, Virginia, I believe. And it's entitled Room Available for Open-Minded. This person's looking for a roommate. I have a large private room available for an open-minded housekeeper / helper. You're right. Alarm bell's already going off. Room can be fully furnished if need be. Currently it is. Must be female. This is located on a private farm in the country. Red flags, anyone? Rooms, meals, utilities, et cetera, included. Free for the right lady. A small salary is included. Pets are okay. Will need to help me with various chores around the farm, including feeding of livestock, open brackets, cows and pigs, close brackets, firewood, cooking, cleaning, gardening, et cetera. open to all legal ages and races. Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting dangling modifier there, yeah. Because it does suggest legal the races, existence yeah. of, yes, of an illegal race.
Yeah. Must be drama-free and drug and disease-free, or it says D&D-free. Yeah. So it's either drug and disease or Dungeons and Dragons.
That's how I read it. I think that's a reasonable insistence, actually.
cigarette smokers, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, Phoebe, I don't know if you're looking for somewhere to live right now, but
Where's Richmond?
I think it's in Virginia in America.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, but would you be interested in taking up this room available for an open-minded housekeeper slash helper, Phoebe?
My only concern is that I am not drama-free. That would be what I think would get in the way of me applying for this otherwise quite exciting sounding opportunity.
You think you'd be just... feeding the cows and the pigs, but stirring up drama in the process.
We could be stirring up drama between the cows and pigs.
This is the thing. I'm very, very concerned that I would not find it possible not to agitate amongst the pigs.
Sure.
You've read Animal Farm. Yeah, you know what it's like.
Yeah, they're like pigs are agitators and instigators, and I mean cows are as well in their own way. Why would you have cows and pigs, and that's it? That seems.
Is that an alarm bell for you?
That to me, well, it's not so much an alarm bell as I am concerned about the future of this guy's farming business.
About the biodiversity
think that the biosphere this person created, it does not have enough diversity in it, not enough sort of like, what do you want in there? A badger or something?
I don't know. Maybe I'd need to have some more clarity on
native animals? I have no idea.
Do you have native animals?
Does the UK have
any?
Yeah.
I think.
What's like a thing you would find in Britain that you wouldn't find elsewhere?
The pedophile.
The Jimmy Savile, for example.
Now we got him in Australia. We got
him everywhere. In fact, we probably sent some of ours to you. So that's something. Red squirrels are native to the British Isles.
Okay. So it's a type of squirrel.
Type of squirrel. Very cute squirrel. Well, they used to in like a long time ago. Lynxes, wolves, bears, wolverines. Beavers all used to be native Phoebe, to the UK, but not anymore.
Phoebe, for a while there, when I was a teenager, my uncle, the other side of my family, there's the Jenkinses who I assume are Welsh, and then there's the McQueens who are obviously Scottish. And when I was like a teenager, my uncle like rediscovered this fact that the McQueens were Scottish and got super into it. Started calling them a clan and things like that. At least I hope that's why. but
any special robes we all wore, et cetera.
But one thing that I really distinctly remember him saying was that the McQueens killed the last wolf in Scotland. And that was like the claim to fame of that particular. And even as a teenager, I was thinking, like, what, was he in a fucking zoo? Like, what do you mean the last wolf in Scotland?
They broke into the Edinburgh Zoo with a hammer and beat it to death.
Yeah, this was in, like, 87. Do you know, I was thinking, Phoebe, on what you were saying about, like, it's weird that there's only cows and pigs. And yeah. I was thinking, yeah, that's true. Because, like, from my understanding, chickens are really easy to raise. And then I thought to myself, why do you think that, Ben? Why do you think that chickens are easy to raise? And then I realized that what I'd done is I just thought about Minecraft. And I'd gone, well, they're a very easy creature in Minecraft. We'd just get a bunch of chickens and...
Have I talked about the chickens we had growing up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your mother locked you in a coop, I believe.
Oh, yes. We have talked about that. My mum used to, when I was misbehaving, would make me go and be with the chickens for an hour or whatever. So I would have to go sit in the coop.
Be with the chickens?
Yeah, right. Like
that sounds like a voiceover from like one of those like Netflix documentary series. When Michael Hing was a child, he had to go and be with the chickens. And then it's just like a mugshot and like your body count.
Yeah, but in this documentary on Netflix, presumably you're talking about a very smart boy who grew up to be a genius or something, Phoebe? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's called Normal Guy.
It's a 6-part series called Normal Guy.
About the world's most normal man.
It's like awards.
I know we have talked about it on the podcast before, but like so many things from your childhood that we bring up on the podcast and we riff on it for a second and then put it away forever. Every now and again, it'll just occur to me walking down the street and I'll be like, I think he might be a serial killer. Like if I had 3 hours to write an opening scene of a serial killer movie and I was really, really pushed for time, I would do the you go be with the chicken scene. It would be that scene right up until you're surrounded by chickens, chicken, 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 chicken. Mm-hmm. The noise grows, and then cut to modern day, like current age Michael Hing. Uh-huh. Or whatever that character's name is.
The first scene of Michael Hing as an adult, it's like him at one of those like kind of petting zoo enclosures, and he's just like staring at one of the chickens and the chicken is staring back at him.
Yeah, exactly. Phoebe, like, call me. We'll write this up.
Hang on. To be clear, I wasn't like friends with the chickens. I was just in their coop, like in the pen. I wasn't like.
Yeah, I know. You were traumatized by it. It's called trauma.
I wasn't locked in the hutch. I was just in the coop bit.
You wouldn't fit in the hutch. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, I was very young. I probably could have crawled in there if I wanted to.
How did the chickens respond to this? Did they treat you as their own or did they treat you as an intruder?
They range in aggressiveness. So, yeah. In fact, I was scared of them because prior to this, I had spent some time in the United Kingdom. We lived in a place called St. Albans for a while.
I forgot that you lived in the UK.
Yeah. Yeah, and there was a.
In fact, I think we've had this conversation because this was when Milo was like briefly seeing a St. Albans MILF who he was having to like drive out to St. Albans.
Yes, anyway, there was a pond there, and there was some geese at this pond, and my mum used to take me down to the. My mum's like an absolute psycho, but she wanted me to be like healthy and to do cardio as a kid. So she used to take me down to the pond and have the geese chase me around. I think she used to put like feed in my pockets. I don't know exactly.
How old were you?
I would have been like 3 or 4.
Oh my God. So that's Moses' age.
Yeah. So
I could be having him chased by a goose right now.
Yeah. That would be so cute.
And so when we moved back to Australia and we had chickens and mum would punish me by putting me in the hutch with the chickens or in the coop with the chickens or whatever, in the pen. I remember thinking initially I remember being scared of them because I was like, oh, I've been chased by birds before.
Sure.
But then when I realized that they were like scared of me, I was like, oh, maybe I can be master of all birds now. Do you want to? Like I can claim.
And now I'd say your relationship with birds is pretty much ambivalence, which is interesting.
Would you let me put feed in Mo's pockets and then take him to the goose pond?
My son Moses?
Yes, your son Moses.
I would. Are you out of your mind? I mean, look, today, you got to get me in a pretty bad mood. I mean, let's not rule it out.
Phoebe, do you have, I have no idea, do you have kids? No. Do you have children?
No.
Right, okay. Well, just if you'd like to consider this as a parenting tip, if you ever do have children, filling their pockets with goose feed.
and just sort of sending
and then
them
taking them to a
well,
goose
this
pond.
Is the thing, because obviously my child is going to be a genius and a legend in various ways. So I can only assume that my child will be able to tame a goose quite quickly and quite easily. I would feel like I had failed if my child got chased by a goose.
Yeah, you should fill their pockets with feed and then also give them a baby's gun. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, and you can get baby guns.
Yeah, like a baby's first gun or something. And then when the goose attacks, they can sort of deal with it.
It's probably quite hard to shoot a goose.
Yeah, first of all, very slim target coming at you. You know what I mean? Shooting one running along next, like besides you in profile, that's probably easier. But if they're running at you, it's like trying to shoot a pencil.
They have a high feather to kind of body ratio as well. So it's all fluff.
Imagine a fluffy pencil coming towards you that wants you dead.
And it's like running in like zigzags and like emitting honks.
Yeah, exactly.
Like how are you shooting that? You can't shoot a goose.
the goose has almost evolved to sort of
to scare a child.
I was going to say to outwit a gun, but I mean, you could be right about that as well.
So no one wants to move into this farmhouse.
I do like the idea of the addition of the line small salary included, mm-hmm. because it just screams like second draft. Like the first draft just said technically not slavery. Let's punch it up a little, shall we?
I mean, I think it's definitely okay. You know what? Here is my actual read on this mm-hmm. personal is that I don't think that they're a serial killer.
I don't think so either.
I think that they thought, okay, well, how do I make this sound like I actually really do need someone to help me out with the cows and the pigs, because like the cows and the pigs, they are like, they're having meetings when I'm in the house.
The cows and pigs
could so easily unionize against me because the pigs are, you know, the pigs mm-hmm. are the agitators in the first place. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I haven't got a decent like crop cycle diversity out here. I don't have any like chickens to kind of like inform and kind of, you know, help me union bust out mm-hmm. there. Like, mm-hmm. and I'm out.
Or at least split
yeah,
them.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, exactly. Divide yeah, conquer. Divide and conquer yeah. using yeah. either the chickens or a large cart horse or something of that nature.
Sure.
So I actually do need someone to help me out in like in my farmhouse. Like the housework is sort of getting too much for me, but it all sounds a bit creepy, doesn't it? So what I'll do is I will write the personal so I sound as much like a serial killer as possible. And then uh-huh. by the principle of double bluffs, I won't look uh-huh. like a serial killer. If you were really a serial killer,
you think that I'll read this and be like, there's no way this person could be real because that person should be arrested by
exactly.
the police.
Yeah. And if I were being a serial killer, I wouldn't be so obvious about it.
Yeah.
Double bluff, go to the farm, mm-hmm. break, bust yeah. that up. Look, it's possible. I probably wouldn't bet on it.
I think if you're wanting to look for serial killers, what you want to look for is those like house sharing ads where they're like, yeah, like four creatives. We're all very into the environment. We're into looking after ourselves and we're into self-care and the dissolution of interpersonal strife. They're the serial killers.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the serial killers. This guy out on his farm, he's just the pigs and the cows are just getting too much for him.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Phoebe, do you have one for us?
Yeah, I do. I do indeed. This is from Gumtree. I'm not sure what location it is. Oh, it's in somewhere called Dunedoo. Where is Dunedoo?
I'm looking it up.
It's in New South Wales. It's in the state that we're in. They've got here and this image. They've got a beautiful pub.
Northern central New South Wales.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So
sort of near Dubbo.
All right. So we're out in Dunedoo. And we've got a seller out in Dunedoo who is, sorry, I'm going to drop this now.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was
that bad. It's pretty good.
We've had international guests do worse Australian accents on this podcast.
I'm not sure that's true.
Was probably the, Matt Crispin was probably.
Oh yeah, yeah. No good.
He knows a lot about, the history of US politics, but cannot do a Australian accent to save his damn life.
Well, all right. Maybe I'll stick with it. All right. So we got this seller out in Dunedoo, and they are selling a Polish frizzle rooster.
So it's a bird. It's a chicken.
This whole podcast is getting a bird
it's
motif.
It's a fancy chicken. So I want that to be clear. I'm just looking up at what a Polish frizzle looks like. So this is a kind of rooster. They're really weird looking. I suggest you both Google these as well. They're like
And maybe you at home would like to pause the podcast.
Yeah,
to Google
I'd
it.
Really suggest that you have a little look at the Polish frizzle region. Oh,
they look like bantams.
They
almost.
Do look like bantams. They look like Rod Stewart. a chicken.
They really. That is uncanny, Phoebe, how much these that is chicken Rod
it's
Stewart.
Chicken Rod Stewart. They've missed a trick, and this chicken does not appear to be called Rod Stewart. He's called Mr. Bean. So he's black with gold leakage. I don't know what that means. I'm not
You assume that's not a medical thing.
No.
You assume that that's a way that you identify plumage.
Yeah, I'm assuming that that's what it is. I mean, like, I know I've come across like I'm a chicken specialist so far, but actually
sure.
I'm just an enthusiastic amateur. So I actually don't know what gold leakage is.
It could just be a fancy way of saying pissing yourself in a way.
This is a chicken that just
pisses
everywhere.
I think it describes
everywhere.
The way the feathers are colored.
Yeah, it
but,
could do.
It could just be... discharges as well.
What I'm wondering is if it maybe has the same kind of feather pattern as either a chinchilla or a chinchilla cat does, because that's like where the hairs are like different colors depending on which end of the hair it is.
Is a chinchilla a type of cat?
There is a chinchilla cat. Yeah. They're really, really nice chinchilla cats. They look like toys.
When people say they're making a coat, like a fur coat out of chinchillas.
Oh, that's out of the rodent. That's not out of the cat.
Right. Okay. Like I thought it was like a, you know, like a tomato is technically a fruit. I was like, that's technically a cat.
There is a rodent chinchilla.
Right. Okay.
There's no reason why either of you should know this, but do you know how difficult it is to take care of a chinchilla? They are the most.
Sorry, do you mean like a coat or like
animal? They are the most difficult animals to look after in the world.
Have you owned one before? Have you had to look after one?
No. What happened was I saw a picture of a black chinchilla and they are the cutest things in the world. They look like a kind of cartoon mouse. They're completely round and then they've got big ears and like a little twitchy nose. And I was like, oh, I'd like to get a chinchilla. That would be a really nice thing to have. And so I looked up what they're like as pets.
Oh, I'm looking at a picture that's a Pokemon.
Yeah, it looks like a Pokemon. It's an adorable
Pokemon.
Little black Pokemon.
So you looked it up, the care instructions.
Yeah. And I found this this looked like something that you imagine like the kind of like the FBI like going through with a marker pen. This document was like so gigantic. And it's all about how like you have to give them little treats when you're training them, but not too many treats because then they get blasé about the treats and the treats no longer work.
Got to keep them hungry.
You've got to get them used to being handled, but not like bother them too much.
It's not like that they're like volatile and feral. It's that they're fancy little princes.
Fancy little princes. You can't wash them because if you wash them, then they go rotten. Because like they don't dry up. They have like such dense fur that they can't dry off properly. So they get this like weird like
how the fuck has this animal survived?
Weird mildew in their fur. So if you want to wash them, you have to do it in a dust bath. But you can't use regular dust. You've got to get special silky dust because otherwise it'll tear their skin. If you piss them off, they like do this thing where they go in a defensive posture and then they piss on you. And once they've pissed on you, you will never get their respect ever again. Yeah. So I decided against getting a chinchilla.
So you didn't end up getting a little chinchilla? No.
Am I right in saying that these animals don't exist in the wild? Because how could they possibly?
Well, they must have done it at some point, and I don't know how surviving.
We've bred them to be
impossible.
Yeah,
for their own
yeah,
good.
We've spoiled them.
Yeah.
Oh
wait,
my
god.
It's called Mr. Bean.
It's called Mr. Bean, and he has a poor attitude, which I think is like probably the case for like all roosters, and particularly the Rod Stewart rooster. If I was that rooster, I would have a poor attitude as well. Right.
Yeah. Too many treats.
Right. He used to be my cuddle buddy. Okay. Fine. Let's get into that. And sweet boy. His sister was stolen and he blames me. He is more interested in revenge than he is with breeding with a non-laced girl.
Wow. Okay. So this is a $30 rooster with a poor attitude mm-hmm. who blames its owner because his sister was stolen.
So this Mr. Bean has become John Wick mm-hmm. at this yep. point. Is the journey of this, the emotional journey of this rooster. Can I just get back to the main point of this man in Dunning Do? Mm-hmm. This information is not required to sell a rooster. like we don't need to do a deep sort of character dive on on the motivations of this fucking bird. No. You're selling it for $30. Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming that's cheap for a rooster. I don't know what the market is like.
Yeah, I actually don't know what the going rate for.
Phoebe, honestly, if you told me that the average price of a rooster was anywhere between like $15 and $1,000, I would believe
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I have literally no idea. Mm. It's like one of those things. It's like something like ironing boards. Like you're always like hugely surprised at either how cheap or how expensive they are. And I think that's the principle that we're dealing with the rooster.
Speaking of ironing boards, mm-hmm. I know this is very this is very much an up against the wall purchase, mm-hmm. but today Hum and I went to purchase a bookcase, which we didn't end up doing because I couldn't imagine the kind of bookcase I wanted, and then we got confused at the shop and we had to leave. But while I was at the homeware store, I saw a thing called a steam closet. Have you ever seen a steam closet?
No.
Do you mean a sauna?
No, these are a new invention, which is a big box, like a cupboard that you hang all your clothes in. And then you press a button. They're like $4,000.
Go on.
And you press a button and then it fills the box with steam.
Oh, okay.
Right? And it irons your clothes. So you never have to iron your clothes ever again. You just press a button and it steams your clothes. Oh.
Did you have to do it like one garment at a time?
No, you can fit like, I don't know. It looked like it was like a small wardrobe. You could probably have like half a dozen things in there probably. I don't know. There's a special one for the pants so you could press your pants. So, but it was very expensive. And I assume it's a real up against the wall purchase, but.
What do you mean by up against the wall purchase? I've never heard this before. Oh, you will be first up against the wall if you buy this.
Yes, okay. I see. Yeah.
Come the revolution. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. That may not be a saying. I don't know.
No, it's definitely not a saying.
but, you know, I really did think about, you know, if I was like in my brain, I was like, if this is less than like $1,000, I'll buy it. But it was $4,000. So I didn't.
Fuck. I'm so angry that you put that in my mind.
But don't you want it now?
I absolutely want it now.
I want it now
yeah,
so much.
Yeah, I know. I massively want that. That sounds great. Mm. It's like a kind of spa for your clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we don't really do sponsored content on this podcast except by accident.
Yeah, but if you are from the Samsung company, if you're listening, if you want, like the Samsung company, are they like a corrupt Korean family maybe? I can't remember
if they are, you're doing a wonderful job. sort of
if you're from the Samsung family, and I think your family's been through some drama recently. and you're looking to increase sales of steam closets in, I guess, I was going to say in Australia, but we have reach all over the world, Ben.
And also, you know, it would be huge PR winning over one of your harshest critics, Michael Higg, just shoots from the hip about the alleged integrity of the people running your business. Who better than to spruik your steam closet, good people of Samsung, than this lunatic?
I mean, if they sent me a steam closet, I would happily change my tune on their entire family.
Well, if I'm from Samsung listening to this now, I'd be like, well, he's already said, he's made two other people say they want this product.
Yeah.
For free.
At the very least, call off the assassins you've undoubtedly hired to kill me, please, Mr. or Mrs. Samsung.
I reckon their deal is you get to keep your Samsung microwave.
See, my only concern is, and this is like, and honestly, Hing, I'm just thinking of your career here, is that if you uh-huh. pigeonhole yourself as a steam closet influencer, there's not a lot of places that you can go with that. So it's very niche. And if the bottom falls out of the steam closet market, then where are you? You need to be branching out.
I'm back to trying to influence people to buy irons or something. I'm not a believable iron influencer. You can't transition.
Yeah, you're going to be needing to like,
it's a really tough
branch
sell.
Out into like the Corby trouser press and that kind of thing. Like you're going to find yourself in trouble very quickly. So I would caution against that.
Okay.
Do you know what I will say for the sake of balance? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. it feels to me like a clothes pressure cooker, right?
Uh-huh. I think it probably is.
I imagine that the corrupt people at Samsung have worked out a way to make these not explode. But if you told me that there was a risk
that it would explode,
a non-insignificant risk of explosion using these things, I would believe you.
Yeah.
And I already have said in this podcast, I have preferences about how people feel about my death. I think having a clothes, a steam powered clothes cupboard explode on me like I'm some sort of Jules Verne motherfucker. would mitigate in no small way the tragedy of my death.
I think that they seemed quite safe when I was fiddling around with it at the shop. It seemed fun, but I did sort of think about, like, you could put, like, obviously the main reason you put things in there is to clothes, mm-hmm. obviously.
Sure. But I mean, clothes isn't a reason, even grammatically. That's not. That's just a noun.
But, Ben, like, I think we can all agree. Steam is steam, right?
Steam is steam.
Steam is steam.
True.
So obviously you're meant to put clothes in there, but you could put some broccoli in there.
You could put
dumplings in there. You know,
yeah.
You could put bok choy, both baby and otherwise.
You could, and the reverse is also true. You could fold up your shirts and put them in one of those little bamboo baskets over the fucking.
You could, for example, take your shirts to Yumcha and
ask one of the ladies to put it in the car.
Roll it around the restaurant for a bit. You know,
yeah. I mean, you could do all these. Are all things that. Technically and legally are allowed.
Steam.
Okay, so all right. So if you don't want to pigeonhole yourself, maybe you could be like a water vapor influencer. And you could like educate people on all the possible different uses of suspended water vapor.
You've just cut out there. Baby's gone. Well, one of the podcast guests didn't show up and the other one dropped out midway through the podcast. Then. I think maybe the curse of technical difficulties on Freddie Good Home is reaching new heights. Yeah. And I can't really explain it.
This is reaching sort of a mummy's curse sort of style level of severity.
I mean, have you recently opened any tombs?
No more than usual.
Right, okay.
You know what I mean? And we're careful.
We're careful when we open these tombs. What was the name of the guy who opened a bunch of tombs and then died?
Tomb Raider? What are you talking about? Son of Tomb Raider? I don't know.
Hello, Phoebe Roy. Hey. Welcome back.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened there. My internet just decided just to.
I think the riffs were getting too
hot.
Yeah,
I think that's what
podcast
happened.
Podcast was getting too funny.
Like, there was this kind of flashing light. Like, oh shit! And I looked out the garden. There was a massive chicken. Just oh no, disaster.
Guys, I have one to take us home. Mm-hmm. This is posted from a little town I like to call Melbourne, in Victoria, Australia, and it's posted in the general community section of Craigslist, which is, can I just say. Regardless of what city it is, it's a fucking wackadoo place. Anybody who in the age of like social media where you can like just set up a Twitter account and just post to strangers or whatever still uses this to just say shit, that is a beautiful kind of loon.
Yes.
So this is taken from the general community section of Craigslist. It reads, I need assistance with hardening up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I need help hardening up. If anyone has the required assistance material, please let me know. Thanks. That is the entirety of the ad.
Now, I'm intrigued by this. I'm not sure if this person wants us to go to their house with like crowbars or something and beat them until they.
Well, because there's at least two interpretations here, right?
Yeah. Or are they after like. Sex pills.
One of them is to get a big boner.
Yeah.
One of them is to get a big sex boner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what they're asking. They want to get a nice big sex boner on. And they're asking the Melbourne community for help in doing that.
Now, but the other option is that
they want to get tough.
They want to get toughened up. So they want us to go there with maybe some cow carcasses they can fight.
Is that what?
Like in Rocky, you know how he beats up the cow carcasses?
Yeah, it's not like because that what that wasn't like a.
Is that not a thing in Rocky?
Yeah, it is. But it's not like it's because he was his enemy. It was just because.
Yeah, but but that's like part of the training montage. Is what
I think
I'm saying.
It's because he was just in a butcher's shop, and they didn't have a punching bag. I could be wrong about that. In fact, I'm almost definitely wrong about that.
Do you think that? You think that in the? I've not seen the movie Rocky. I don't think.
I saw it when I was like 14.
Okay, but in the movie Rocky, do you think that if that character, Sylvester Stallone's character of Rocky, if he wasn't from the wrong side of the tracks and was actually from, like, went to a private school and stuff,
sure.
Do you think he still would have been punching cows, or do you think he
would have been punching a fancy bag or something? A fancy bag. Have you seen Rocky?
I have not. I have maybe? Not seen Rocky. I think that if he went to a private school, he wouldn't be beating up a fancy bag. He'd be beating up like a more expensive breed of cow carcass.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, some sort of Wagyu.
Yeah.
Some of that Wagyu exactly. carcass.
A Kobe carcass.
Yeah. 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 So I don't know.
I've never taken boner pills. I don't mean to brag.
Congratulations on your natural boners. Or maybe you just have made peace with never having a boner. I don't know.
I can't imagine they're difficult to get, though, are they?
Boner pills?
Yeah. You just go to the doctor and be like, do you know what I mean? You can't just go to the doctor and be like, my dick doesn't work, and they'll just give you the pills?
I think so.
Yeah, I guess like.
It's not like people aren't crushing these pills up to make meth. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, you don't know that.
Well, I don't think you could. I think
it's a good point, though.
Why would you go to the internet, to the shadiest parts of the internet to get boner pills when you could just. Buy them from a doctor.
Oh, because he's saying the assistance material. Maybe he means porno mags.
Yeah, but you don't need to. You don't need to go somewhere special to get that. Or maybe you do.
That's
like,
true
maybe
as well.
You do. Like maybe
readily available.
But maybe like if you want to get like a porn mag, that's like now a kind of. Like a kind of esoteric piece of ephemera, and you've got to go to like a special store that's like run by like a sex nerd.
Phoebe, can I ask a question? Yeah. This is a cross-cultural Australia/UK question. In Australia, there is a sort of a tradition in primary schools, I guess, that everyone knows that somewhere in the bush nearby is a suitcase full of porno mags.
Yeah.
You have this rumor at your school, Ben?
Yeah.
Is this a UK thing?
At our school, it was a phone box.
Sure, a phone box full of pornos. Did your school have a box or suitcase full of pornos
somewhere?
There was allegedly
some in a carrier bag in the woods near my primary school.
Now, here's my question about that, because that's another thing that I like grew up with but never really questioned. And can I say, El Dorado is real. Like,
there was a phone box full of pornos?
There was. Like there was dead set on Boundary Road in Roseville. A phone box full of porn.
A phone box full of pornos.
It was where the fucking yellow pages should have been.
What? Someone just stuffed pornos into
there. Yeah, and they were like black and white. It was really
what?
Yeah. I wouldn't lie about this.
Uh-huh.
I was there.
You saw it. I saw it with my own eyes. It was like Howard Carter, like looking in on Tutankhamun's tomb and just being like, "I saw it. It's real. I've seen many wonderful
Howard
things."
Howard Carter.
Yeah.
Okay, that's crazy because when you dropped out of the podcast momentarily, I said our podcast is cursed, like that old British guy who opened too many tombs, and then Ben couldn't remember the name, but there was Howard Carter. It was Howard Carter, Ben.
Howard Carter didn't get cursed.
Didn't he get cursed?
I know that some of the people who like.
I mean, imagine eventually.
I know
he
some
died.
Of the people who like. Yeah, he's like living forever, like one of those chickens. I just remembered as well that the idea that like chickens can technically live forever was something that I said elsewhere, and so that doesn't make any sense at all. if I bring that up there.
He died from natural causes.
But loads of his team, most of whom were like Egyptian locals, got like a kind of horrible airborne thing when opening the tombs, and that's what the curse of the mummy's tomb came from. But yeah, I don't think anything happened to Carter. I think he was just kind of wafting along wearing linen like English visitors to the colonies did.
Wait, what was your thing you wanted to
Well, the thing is, like, because I'm telling you that it's real.
Uh-huh, okay.
I'm not saying all the kind of porno caches are real, but I'm saying that for me, there was definitely a phone box full of pornos near my school.
Okay.
My question is, what the fuck is going on?
Do you mean who's?
Who's the porno Santa? Like,
so
in my mind, right, when I was a kid, I was like, well, it's just because they can't have them in their house. Mm-hmm. So they're, but if you're an adult, you can have as much porno in your house as you fucking want.
Now that I'm an adult, I genuinely can.
I've got,
I can have a porno room
if
I want.
I've got my porn cabinet. That's what this room is. Yeah. Because that's what being an adult is all about. See, this is interesting because I always thought of the porn carrier bag as being like a kind of collaborative, collective dossier almost that had been kind of built up by multiple people over the years. Yeah, and people add to the carry bag, like the medieval manuscript tradition of the Bible. Like people just like kept like adding like their marginalia. I think that's why the porn bag,
the Book of Kells. But in this instance, they're all sucking and fucking.
Exactly.
Are you guys familiar with the beautiful folk tale of Stone Soup?
Yeah.
It's like that, but with little bits of pornos.
Yeah. Which one is Stone Soup? There's a soup made of stone.
Yeah, somebody comes to a village that's very hungry, and he says, "I can make you a soup with just this stone."
Right.
And he says, "But this is delicious." But and he just gets water and puts it in there, and he says, "Oh, but I do need some carrots." And somebody says, "I've got some." But he tricks everybody into sharing a big soup, basically, by making great adding little things. So what happens is somebody goes into the woods with a carrier bag with a stone in it and says, "I can give you pornos." But I just need a little page torn out of an FHM, and somebody goes, "I have a page torn out of an FHM," and then the whole village cranks off. So,
it's beautiful.
When I was at school, the way the story went was that it was someone's older brother or cousin was like a weird porno guy, and he collected them all. But then his parents found it, and he had to think of a place to hide it. So he put it in a suitcase and put it in the woods. Mm-hmm. Yeah, put it in the bush. Yeah. And then.
It's like the beginning of a very low stakes Coen Brothers movie.
He's played by George Clooney. Yeah. He's very charming. Yeah. I think the way it went was that he'd put it in like the area of bush behind my friend Patty's house. Across the road from my friend Patty's house. Mm-hmm. And to get there, you had to scale down like what is now a rock climbing face, but there was kind of a way you can scupper down there. Mm-hmm. And then he'd had to throw it down. He just threw it off the ravine into the thing, mm-hmm. but didn't know exactly where it was. Mm-hmm. And so like, it was sort of this thing that you would go down there to search for, and that kids had been searching for mm-hmm. years, but no one ever found.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Mm, yeah. So, you know, it's not quite the phone box full of black and white pornos that you had been.
Well, you know what? I mean, we don't all find, as I say, we don't all find El Dorado, do we? Phoebe Roy, this has been an absolute joy. Thank you so much for joining us.
So welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I'm just going to be honestly, I'm thinking about making an offer on the rooster. I need a rooster with a poor attitude in my house.
$30.
Yeah.
If people want to find out more about what you do and the various podcasts you host, how can they find them?
Ah, super easy. It's super easy to do that. I have two little podcasts. One is called Masters of Our Domain, which you can find on Twitter at Masters of Pod, which is me and the ghostly presence of Milo's Seinfeld podcast. And I do another podcast called 10,000 Posts, which is a podcast about how everything is posting. And you can also find that on Twitter, where we post episodes and things of that nature.
And do you have any plans to come to Australia so you can view a bow bird in its real life? Or alternatively, a suitcase full of pornos. We have one of those as well.
Honestly, I would be so delighted. It's just a question of finding time to, you know, be on a plane for 2 days, because like it feels like quite an unnatural state of being. But I would
life is finite, it really does feel like kind of a mockery.
I just would like to just like dress up in like a very, very blue tracksuit and then go and find one of these birds and see what it does.
Ben, what do you got coming up soon?
Oh, we got Dragon Friends at the store coming up in July. You can find that out by Googling the Comedy Store Dragon Friends.
Oh, and I think our special guest this week, this month, I should say, is Maddie Parker, who you might know from ITS.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah, so come along.
That'll be super fun. I'm still doing my newsletter occasionally, theidiotreport.com. And lately I've become, well, when I had COVID, I became obsessed with collaborating with an AI bot to write some stuff, and that was really fun.
Do you think that AI robot was like what, better or worse than me, your other collaborator? How did you feel about that?
I don't really want to get into it.
Did you think presently. That they were like, because
I want to say they did a lot of yes ending, Michael. They did a lot of yes ending.
I think I've just put on some shows at the Sydney Fringe. So if you're in Sydney and want to see me develop a new hour of stand-up, you can go along to that. It'll probably be mixed quality.
That's the Michael Hing promise.
Mixed quality. Anyway, Phoebe Roy, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you very soon.
And I just want to also put a call out to our listeners. If you ever found pornos where they
great call out.
Yeah. If you ever, like, if there was like a myth going around your school that there was a cache of pornos somewhere and you actually found them, do get in touch.
Yeah. Or alternatively, just any apocryphal rumors you had as a child that you definitely believed in retrospect, you're like, that's crazy. That didn't really happen. Let us know on our Facebook page if you have Facebook, or you can drop it in the Discord. Again, if you'd like to join the Discord, the instructions to do that are too complicated and you'll just have to try and find it yourself. There's no way for me to explain how to do it.
It is, unlike some of the porno caches, findable.
It's real.
Anyway.
It's full of like old copies of Razzle.
You say Razzle? Is Razzle a British porno mag? That's so funny. That is so funny that it's called Razzle.
It's Razzle.
That is the most English shit I've ever heard. I'm going to go yank my chain to something called Razzle. Sure you are, Tobitha. Anyway, we'll see you next week. Bye.
If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain, if you like making love at midnight in the dunes of the Cape, then I'm the love that you've looked for. Write to me and escape.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.